Well, to continue on this discussion, Washington has confirmed it was not in any way involved in Israel's offensive operation in Iran. The US Secretary of State Antony Blinken made that announcement after the G7 foreign ministers meeting in Italy. But he says that while the US is committed to Israel's security, it's also committed to de-escalation in the Middle East. Alon Pincus is a former Israeli diplomat, former advisor to Israeli Prime Ministers Ehud Barak and Shimon Peres, and I spoke to him earlier.
Good morning, Fran. Good to be with you.
This, as it turns out, was not a hugely devastating retaliation by Israel, as had been threatened by the War Cabinet. It was quite limited in scope. Why?
It was. It was, in fact, performative, and it was essentially a demonstration of capabilities meant to de-escalate rather than escalate. The balance or the tipping point here was extraordinarily sensitive. Any kind of retaliation, aside from being silly from every point of view, because neither Israel nor Iran have an interest in escalation, but any kind of escalation that would have been beyond performative would have led to hell breaking loose. So I think in that respect, Israel made the restrained and the limited reaction.
Israel has not formally claimed this attack. Is there any doubt that this was an attack from Israel on Iran in retaliation?
Look, it's not Australia. It's not Canada. Then it must be Israel. Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, what Israel is trying to do here, and to a lesser extent, Iran as well, Fran, is go back to the status quo ante, meaning to the covert war that was going on, in which there were rules of the game and rules of engagement, and no one claimed responsibility, and there was no bravado and no chest pumping. So, you know, you do what you got to do, as goes the saying, and you just don't take credit for it. It's a kabuki theater of sorts, because everyone knows who does what. But it does not escalate or does not intensify the rhetoric to the point that there's no going back. So in that respect, possibly Israel is doing the right thing. And the Iranians, by the way, who first even denied that there was an attack, are basically doing the same thing.
You say possibly doing the right thing. I mean, this attack didn't match the show of force by Iran 5 days earlier. Israel's far-right national security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, tweeted one word in response to the strikes. He wrote, feeble. Is that humiliating for Benjamin Netanyahu?
No, absolutely not. Well, you know, Mr. Ben-Gvir is a bully and a thug who knows very little about national security. So, you know, he tweeted feeble and okay, it's even worse than feeble. It's a Hebrew slang word that's worse than feeble. But going beyond that, what the Iranians did on April 13th and 14th, despite the fact that in and of itself it was retaliatory to Israel's attack on April 1st against the Iranian consulate in Damascus, what Iran did is essentially break the mold, Fran. They sort of shifted the paradigm in that they launched 300 drones, surface-to-surface missiles, and cruise missiles into Israel, from Iran to Israel. That was a dramatic change. And Israel felt this cannot pass with immunity and impunity. So there needs to be a demonstration of capabilities. Feeble? I mean, what the hell did this guy expect? That Israel would bomb Tehran? That Israel would launch a major strike on nuclear facilities and infrastructure? That means an all-out war, and no one in his right mind has an interest in that.
Iranians, too, mocked the Israeli attack. Now, on one hand, you could say, well, of course they will, but one senior military spokesperson described it as fireworks. What does this do to Israel's long-standing defence policy of deterrence? Because some in Israel are suggesting it's undermined it.
No, I don't think it undermined it. I think the Iranians know exactly what Israel's capabilities are. They know that their attack on April 13th and 14th was thwarted not just by Israel, but also with the collaboration of the U.S., France, Britain, and Jordan, with intelligence supporting it from other countries. And so they know exactly that they made a bad gamble because it turned international attention to Iran itself. They know exactly what Israel is capable of. What they did in mocking it was obviously cater to a domestic audience or domestic domestic consumption. And that's, you know, that's understandable. But the main thing here is that both countries are playing a very dangerous escalation brinkmanship type of a game that could spiral out of control, not just deliberately, but also as a result of miscalculation. The Iranians know this, Israel knows this, everyone knows this.
Everyone knows this. You're on the ground there in Tel Aviv. Obviously, the criticisms from Itamar Ben-Gvir and others suggest that the Israeli war cabinet is not in total agreement about how to deal with Iran and attitudes with Israel too. What is the dynamic within Israel at the moment?
There's no question that Israel is facing a strategic dilemma with Iran and has been facing one for the better part of the last 15 years. So this is not just this event or this last 2 weeks that highlight this dilemma or this conundrum. The mood right now is still devastation and agony over what had happened on October 7th with the Hamas attack in Gaza. People see this as connected. If you look at the public opinion polls, they're split right down the middle in terms of should Israel retaliate or not? Should Israel keep on pressuring Iran or not? It's about 50-50. I think the appetite for escalation is very low right now.
The appetite for escalation might be low, but what about, as you say, the potential for miscalculation in any response here, now that this covert war, as you've called it, has come into the foreground?
Miscalculation, the potential and the possibility of miscalculation is right here. And it's, it could spiral out of control very quickly and very easily.
I guess what I'm getting at is how much pressure is there on Benjamin Netanyahu around that, about that potential?
Well, there are three types of pressure. One is external. That's from the U.S., which made preventing escalation its paramount interest, in fact, ever since the October 7th attack. And if you recall, President Biden twice, on October 7th and then again last week, warned everyone involved using one word, don't. Do not escalate. Do not expand. A second set of pressures comes from the from inside the cabinet, as you correctly indicated, Fran. Not everyone is on board with the gung-ho belligerent motivations that some of the extreme right wing have. And the third, possibly the most important set of pressures, comes from the public, which, as I said before, has very little appetite for this.
You've written in the past that Benjamin Netanyahu wants to broaden the war into an Israeli-Iranian conflict to drag the US into a confrontation with Iran. America, as you pointed out, has pushed back this time. President Biden said don't and made it clear the US would not participate in any counterattack. Was it that pressure from the US that persuaded Benjamin Netanyahu to calibrate this retaliation? Is US pressure having some impact here, as it has seemed not to have much impact in terms of Benjamin Netanyahu's approach to the Gaza war?
You're exactly right in that distinction, Fran. I think it had limited impact on the Gaza thing and almost maximal impact on the Iran thing. Because unlike Gaza, where the US voluntarily got involved, In terms of the Iranian conflict or the potential broadening of the Iranian conflict, that could very well drag the U.S. and involve it involuntarily.
Meanwhile, Netanyahu has committed Israel to a ground offensive in Rafah, in southern Gaza, to, in his words, effectively finish off Hamas. Does Israel have the capacity to be fighting two wars?
Technically, yes. Politically, no. It does not. And the Rafah thing has become a sort of a farce. I mean, there was no reason preventing Mr. Netanyahu from invading Gaza at the outset of the war. In fact, Fran, he was asked by the U.S. at the time, What does he think? Where does he think, rather, is Hamas's military center of gravity? And the answer was in the south. And the Americans asked, then why you're invading the north? For which Mr. Netanyahu had no adequate answer.
Alon Pincus, thank you very much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
My pleasure, friend.
Alon Pincus is a former Israeli diplomat and former advisor to two Israeli prime ministers. You're listening to Saturday Extra.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.